Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs, and welcome to the Great America Show. Great to have you with us. We're all about truth, justice, and the American way here. And let's start with a startling new entry in the truth column. Puppet President Joe Biden, who never ceases to meet the lowest of expectations, especially when it comes to truth. Before now, Biden's attorneys, the FBI, and the National Archives hadn't disclosed how many boxes had been in the Penn Biden Center in Washington. Now, Fox News reports that Biden's attorney, Patrick Moore, shipped at least 9 boxes from the Biden Center to Moore's office up in Boston. And we're learning about it now, thanks only to Senator Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley. 9 more boxes, and we don't know what they contain. It's not unreasonable, of course, to assume there are some classified documents. Biden does have a history, doesn't he? And apparently no one has gone through those boxes, or at least so they say. Outrageous. And the Marxist Dems in the Senate have reintroduced a resolution that would claim the date of March 1st for the national, quote, COVID-19 Victims Memorial Day. The resolution was first introduced in August of 2021. But wasn't passed. You'll be pleased to know this new resolution is far more gender neutral than the original. It replaces the words mother and father with the word parents, and brother and sister with the word siblings. Isn't that thoughtful? Everything the Marxists do is politicized and, where possible, weaponized against decency, the traditional family, truth, and the American way. The Marxists are doing all they can to stop President Trump, but their corruption is being revealed more by the day. Those 9 boxes, they're just more reason to demand that the Biden cesspool and the Justice Department drop altogether their efforts to prosecute President Trump, trying to block his path to return to the White House. The president successfully doing what he must do to defeat the billionaire oligarch donors and the rhino candidates they will trot out to run against him. A tough battle is underway, but President Trump is winning in these early rounds, whether it be his dominating win in the CPAC straw poll or his general poll numbers that show him to be not only the leader of the Republican Party, but he's retaining as well his high favorability lead with his base, and he's gaining momentum. Our guest today is the man who first warned President Trump about the Russian collusion hoax. He served 20 years in Congress. Devin Nunes joins us now. Devin is the chief executive officer of Trump Media and Technology, including the properties Truth Social and Rumble. Devin, it is great to have you back with us here on the show, and welcome. Devin, what is your reaction to President Trump's positioning now in the Republican Party and his popularity with the people who matter most, Republican and independent voters?
Well, Lou, it's great to be back with you. And what's obvious whenever you travel around the country, which I do a lot of on behalf of True Social, you see Trump 2024 flags everywhere. You know, and in fact, you know, we're headquartered in Florida. And when I drive across the state, you know, from our headquarters, which is on the Gulf side, over to Mar-a-Lago to see the president, you know, you see Trump 2024 flags everywhere. And so I think what we're looking at here is an unprecedented political movement. It started as Donald Trump, the outsider, back in 15 and 16. Nobody really gave him a chance. And then he shocked the world. And then by doing that, he really pulled the Band-Aid off of all the corruption, which likely existed, that the left was doing it to George W. Bush, was doing it to, you know, during all the Obama years. And nobody expected somebody like Trump to, number one, to win. But then number two, he operates outside the norms, and he would just call them out on things. And now where we're at, Lou, is that over the 4 years that Trump was president, he shocked everybody by actually doing what he said he was going to do, even though he didn't get full cooperation from all the Republicans in Congress, and of course lost control of Congress for the last 2 years. But he actually did the things he said he was going to do. And probably the best example of that is taking on China. Nobody thought he was going to take on China, including me, because I've heard every single president say we're going to get tough on China. And I'll be damned if he didn't do it. And I think a lot of the credit goes to, you know, some of the president's people that he picked from the very beginning were rock stars. And, you know, everybody talks about the people who didn't work out or that turned on Trump. You know, Trump didn't have a lot of connections to Washington, D.C., didn't know how the swamp operated, didn't know all the players. But I will tell you, Ambassador Robert Lighthizer does not get the credit that he should get. I mean, he was probably one of the best people in the Trump administration. I mean, they took on China. And,
yeah, I agree.
You know, and President Trump, as you know, in his heart, in his bones, he does not like to see the empty factory spread throughout the Rust Belt. And I think that resonates with people. And then you saw how he was attacked by the FBI, the DOJ, every level of government. And what it's turned into, Lou, is simply just a movement. So I like to tell people, look, not only, you know, I know a lot of these people that are either running for president or pretending like they're going to run. And I just say, look, good luck, guys. I mean, we haven't had a political movement like this. And you're not dealing with somebody who is your average Joe, and even your average Joe politician. As you know, Lou, I mean, Donald Trump works 7 days a week. He's never off. He's always on. You may not like everything he says, but you know what? He's out there working. He's out there swinging the bat. And that's going to be tough for anyone to get around. And I think that's what you saw at CPAC last week. And I've got some other fun stories that I could share with you, but I'll pass it back to you.
No, I just want to agree with you about Robert Lighthizer. I had some relationship with a number of people in the administration. None, in my opinion, compared to Robert Lighthizer in his intellectual depth, his knowledge, and his commitment to the president's direction to bring that trading relationship with China into balance, including the inception of those tariffs that the president wanted put on. I just want to agree absolutely 100% with you about his role and how important he was. If the president had a cabinet full of Robert Lighthizers, an administration, an executive office building filled with Robert Lighthizers. Of course, his talents are so rare, you couldn't fill up more than a couple more offices, maybe. But he would have made all the difference in the world because some of the choices the president, as you alluded to, made some bad choices. And the result was that with all of the fire, the incoming from the left, from the deep state, it was a miracle that President Trump got done what he did, which was more than any president in modern American history.
I think that's right, Lou. And, you know, and you hear this a lot, that one of the advantages that President Trump has coming back in is that when he lost and then he set up on the outside, you know, these groups form the America, different America First groups. You got the America First Legal with Stephen Miller. And then you've got the America First group that Linda McMahon is chairing. You know, this is a situation now that you know, when President Trump, you know, if he's successful again, you know, he'll go in with a whole stable of people that he didn't have before. Before, he just thought that, hey, when I get to D.C., you know, there's just a lot of good Republicans and the party apparatus will help me out. Well, he knows that's not the case. And so nobody is ready to go into battle with the right people in place, like Trump is now, not to mention that, you know, like you said at CPAC, you know, the other day, I mean, he's really a man on a mission, and he knows, you know, I see the fake news making a big deal about, you know, his point that he made at CPAC is that, you know, so many Americans were done wrong, right? Whether it's General Flynn and all the people wrapped up in the Russia hoax, or, you know, January 6th people who are being treated differently than anyone else, or all the ridiculous investigations that are underway now, right now in the DOJ with the documents, the Mar-a-Lago documents hoax, the Ukraine impeachment hoax. It goes on and on. And Donald Trump says, look, I'm the guy who's gonna get retribution. And the fake news, they go crazy with that. It's like, well, what the hell do you expect? Like, you expect all of us just to take this, to sit here and take it? Like, this is not the Republican Party of old. You know, we see, I mean, I was there, Lou, for 2 decades, and I saw the degradation and the weakness in the Republican Party, and it really just manifested itself during the Trump administration. You really, cut the, you know, the men from the boys, so to speak, if we can even say men and boys anymore.
And to this point, I think there's every reason for those of us on the right in this country to assert our values and to steadfastly preserve them and persevere against the left in this country, as you're talking about. I have to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna point out, I know this is not what you had me on to talk about, but I think, you know, I spent a lot of time in Florida now at True Social headquarters, but, you know, I still spend a lot of time in California. My family lives in California, my wife and children. And I'll tell you, Lou, this, you know, so it's kind of the heart of progressive craziness, although I'm in the middle of the state, so we're a little less impacted by it. But I just don't believe, I think what's happened here is you've got the fake news, which is doing the typical fake news stuff. They're talking about this with the hard progressive left, which is probably even in the state of California, it's less than 5, maybe 10% of the population that really believes in this crazy stuff. And what's happening is that they've, especially in California, they've managed to cut off 55%, 60% of the population from real information, right? And they've done this successfully so by not just controlling the fake news, but also controlling the delivery of the fake news, which is the social media companies. And so you've got 55, 60% of Californians who are running around like, okay, we're told to vote Democrat. We're going to vote Democrat. We know the Republicans must suck because we hear that every single day. But you know what? If those people, I have to think a big percentage of those people, even in California, as crazy as this sounds, if you went to them and said, hey, did you know that the progressive Democratic socialist left that has full control over the state of California wants to give reparations to black people in California, even though the state of California never had a slave and fought on the side of the union? They actually want to increase the amount from 250 to, I think it's 350 now. And did you know that they're fighting to say that you can't use he or she anymore? There's no difference between boys and girls, and that people can decide what sex they are, and that they have rights, special rights, in the state of California, and they want to take this not only nationally but globally. Do you know about this? I think the answer, Lou, would be they would just sit there glass-eyed and be like, Lou Dobbs, Devin, what the hell are you talking about? I never heard any such thing. Well, so I think it's just a matter of information getting to the people. I have to think even the people of California would say they have no clue this is going on. No clue.
I think you're right. I'm just looking down here at Twitter. Elon Musk, who has been, and by the way, I think he has truly been at various points a champion of free speech. But I'm just checking to see how many followers I have right now. And I want to give everybody a correct update on this. And if I can get this number up here, it's 2 million, almost 2.4 million followers. And it's been that way for quite a while. And if I go to the analytics right now, and there's a point to this, believe me, folks, bear with me. The analytics for this show that last month I had something like 6,000 followers, new followers, which is a very small number for what is typical for the show, because I'm being shadow banned is the point under Elon Musk, who is supposed to be all better than all of those Twitter critters who preceded him in one fashion or another, because they're shadow banning me because I am a conservative and I am for Donald Trump. And I am for America First and MAGA. I'm all traditional founding values. I believe fervently in the Constitution, the rule of law. That makes me a dangerous, dangerous extremist in the minds of the rhinos, as well as what you call the progressive left. By the way, I don't refer to Democrats as the progressive left. I'm calling them what they are. They are Marxist. Devin, there's no doubt in my mind. And I will not give them the word progressive, because they're not progressing anything. They are destroyers. They are putting this country back decades with all of their stratagems, which are Marxist in both design and effect. Your thoughts?
Well, look, I totally agree. I mean, we're the, in California, you know, we're really the guinea pig, especially where I'm from in the San Joaquin Valley of California, kind of the middle of the state, the agricultural area. A lot of what you see of the hard left, Marxist left, and I totally agree with you on that definition, but a lot of these, like the crazy environmental policies started here in California. It started 20, 30 years ago. And gradually it took shape in Washington, D.C. and the rest of the country. And many parts of the country have not really seen the impact of these Marxist policies that come out of California. The same, Lou, is true for this whole transgender issue. I mean, it started in California, I'm thinking maybe 10, 15 years ago, roughly, where they made a big deal about making sure that boys could use girls' bathrooms at school. You may remember some of that. So what started here, and they just continue to push these policies forward. And look, as it relates to Twitter and Elon Musk, I think the way you have to look at this is that, you know, hey, we're very thankful that Elon Musk, when I say we, President Trump and I, were very supportive of Elon Musk buying Twitter. You know, because the goal at True Social is to open up the internet in order to give the American people their voice back. And we've successfully done that, right? Over the last year, if you look at where we've come from, you know, we operate without using an Amazon or, you know, a Microsoft or any of the big major tech tyrant companies. We don't use any of that, Lou. Between True Social and Rumble, we have our own enclosed system where we're not reliant on these big tech companies. And no matter how hard they attack us, everything they do to us, they say, you know, so many, you know, fake news stories about us. But, you know, here we are standing, coming out with features, continuing to grow every day. And I think what Elon Musk is seeing is that, you know, Twitter, which is kind of a relic platform that goes back to, gosh, I think they started Twitter in 2006 or seven. And I know I went onto the platform in 2009. And what they successfully did over the years is they built a wicked web of algorithms into their software that they can't fix. And so even though Elon Musk has said, hey, I don't want any of this to happen, it's like, how do you fix it? And I saw an interview that he did that said, you know, they may have to rewrite all the code. And, you know, I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said. And if you take what we've done, which is entirely different with our feed, is that we don't use an algorithm. The feed is the feed. Lou, if you post at 12 p.m. and I post at 12:30, I'm going to be first in someone's feed and you're going to be second. There's no algorithm. There's no getting rid of. There's no putting Devin Nunes under Lou. There's no putting Donald Trump in front of us. It's just the order is the order. And that, if you may remember, that is how Facebook and Twitter used to operate. It right. used to just be in chronological order. But what started with, hey, we're going to use algorithms to improve your experience, turned into, well, we're going to define what we think your experience should be, exactly. and we're going to deem Lou Dobbs as not good information, so we're going to suppress him. And I think now Twitter's kind of reached its peak. Everybody who wants to be on Twitter is on Twitter. And they have a problem now of just fixing all of that code. So, you know, I don't know if they're ever going to return, you know, to what they once were. But look, we're just going to continue. True Social is going to continue to work with great partners like Rumble. And we're going to keep this internet wide open. We're going to stand in the breach. And we're going to support people like Elon Musk and anybody else who wants to fix this problem moving forward.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because we're planning to come over to Rumble very quickly here. And I may call to get some advice, if I may. But it's really a different experience on, as you say, Truth Social and Twitter. Let me just read you the tweet that I sent. Sure, Elon Musk, this is the way I tweeted this out. Sure, at Elon Musk is shadow banning me, even worse than the old Twitter critters, but what he's done with SpaceX is absolutely thrilling, historic, and central to America's space program. He's routinized rocket launches, every one of them a thrilling hoot. But here's the reality. Twitter is still, and by the way, you mentioned information not good. And I really think all of us on the right should be very careful about these words. It isn't that the information isn't good. It is simply that the viewpoint is opposite the Marxist left, and they are not tolerating it. And they're crushing it. They're crushing it in schools. They're crushing the homogeneity of excuse me, the homogeneity of this country in favor of multiculturalism, which would be fine if it were transitional. But they want that to be the result. That is Balkanization of America rather than a pluribus unum, you know, out of many one. They want the family destroyed, and they are doing very well with it, with two Marxist organizations called teachers unions, the two largest, destroying public education in this country.
You know, it's funny you mentioned, I haven't heard that term in a while, multiculturalism. You know, when I was in college, that was the new thing. That was the big thing, and they were teaching us that in college. And you know, back in those days, it sounded a little bit ridiculous, but it's like, okay, look, you know, there's a lot of different cultures, and we need to accept all the cultures. Got it? No problem. But hey, we're all Americans. It just didn't seem that extreme at the time when I was going to college. But now you see, they turned what, hey, we should just all be aware of everybody and accept everybody's differences. And I actually think it's important to recognize, like, hey, instead of just calling yourself a Hispanic or a Latino, you know, that's kind of a something made up by the left wing, because everybody exactly. has an origin. Everybody has a family that came from somewhere, right? They love to, you know, if you came from, you know, Brazil, you're a hell of a lot different than somebody that came from Chile or somebody who came from, even within Mexico, there's a huge difference. I mean, I went to school with so many people who had family in Mexico or originate from Mexico. Lou, they didn't say, oh, we're, you know, when I'm talking about when I was a kid, they didn't say, oh, I'm a Latino, or, and they sure as hell didn't say I'm a Latinx. They sure as hell didn't say that. What they did say is they'd say, oh, I'm from, you know, my grandmother came from Tijuana and my grandfather was from Guadalajara. Like, it should be just like in the United States saying, Lou, like we were talking about, like, you know, you've spent so much time in New Jersey, right? And I'm California. People have pride in that kind of thing. But but now what they've and everybody around the world has pride of where their ancestors came from. There's nothing wrong with that. But what that was 30 years ago has now metamorphed itself into, oh, if you're a LGBTQ plus brown, green, whatever, you need to be a Latinx. We're going to call you a Latinx, and you've been discriminated against, and you need to get reparation. I mean, it's absolute madness where we've come in 30 years that I can't even believe it. What was multiculturalism is now craziness.
Right. Well, I'm a product of the 60s. I mean, that was the era of Vietnam, civil rights, the sexual revolution, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Those folks who were talking about the society that they were upending in the 60s, they would not have had any idea that all of that could become what we have today, which is mind control, absolute insistence upon conformity on the part of the Marxist left, certainly, and the hollowed out now Democrat Party, which had to make room for Marxism. They would never have believed this. It is, the Marxists are totalitarian, they are authoritarian, and they will not rest until this country is no longer a constitutional republic, no longer a democracy known as the United States of America. We may be known as the States of America, but it will be a Marxist form of government.
Yeah, it's really moving that way. That, I mean, there's no question. And if you think about, you know, the 1960s, you know, I wasn't alive then, but
you go know, ahead, rub it in, Devin. Come on.
But Lou, you actually had legitimate issues going on during that time period, right? Number one, you had a war waging that was, you know, at first, remember that it was not a war; it was a secret war, right? In the early 60s, when they first went into Vietnam, and American people didn't know about it, and we started losing lives over there, and then it was a war, and then we had so many people that got, you know, killed or injured over there, Americans, and nobody knew what the hell we were even doing there or how we got into that mess. And at the same time, We were dealing with real problems, not in California, I must say, but no question there was still segregation of schools, in the 50s and the early 60s. I mean, that's a legitimate concern. But by the way, the Republicans are the ones who worked to free the slaves, and they were the ones who carried this legislation forever because it was a legitimate problem. But now what's happened is, instead of like seeing that, hey, we've solved the problem, and how do we make things even better, we've went to, oh, no, even though, you've been oppressed, maybe, I mean, I get a kick out of, it tends to be, you see a lot of people that are, that come from Africa, that immigrants from Africa, right? And so not people, not Americans, not African Americans, but people that come first generation. And it's just funny how they tend to be so much more conservative. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but they tend to be so much more conservative, and they're so happy to be here, and they're working, and they don't sit around going, oh, well, there used to be segregation and there was slavery in the United States, so poor me, like I'm gonna protest the government. Like, no, they're happy to be here. They're out there working hard. And there's just such a difference between what the radical left, what they do to these to young people, no matter what you are. I mean, if you're they try to put you into a group and into a box and say, you've been disadvantaged, therefore, and we're the ones that are gonna help you. You need to be pissed off and you need to vote for us because we're gonna get you free stuff. Yeah. Versus people that just come over here, they come into the country and they want to work hard. And, I mean, I just look at it as, I mean, hell, I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley, and, we had, not a lot of people were, really born in the San Joaquin Valley because it's just been a growing area. It was an agricultural area. I mean, hell, we had kids from, Okies. We called them Okies because that's what they called themselves. They were from the Dust Bowl era. You may remember, John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. Famous book, but that's where I grew up. We had kids that came from Oklahoma and from Arkansas, or their parents did, during the Dust Bowl. And we had kids that came from, a lot of kids that came from Mexico. We had a lot of kids, like me, that their families came from the Azores Islands. Everybody came here. You worked in agriculture. It was a nice place to grow up. Nobody sat around saying, oh my God, we've been oppressed and we think the government should give us something. It's like, no, like, hey, we're just happy to have a job, and our families are happy to feed our families, and that's the spirit of America. It's not what the left is pushing and trying to create, all these different boxes of people, right, that then turn into essentially they're trying to create these phony voting blocks.
Yeah, they are, but the they needs to be, I think, better defined. I think we can't just put it all at the hands of the left-wing Marxist in this country who grew up during the 60s and handed off to the Obama generation, and now this generation, which is just being filled with fatuous nonsense, posing as reason and some basic knowledge. The reality is that corporate America in this country, that was the hand, went hand in hand with the Republican Party, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Business Roundtable. You were a congressman for what, 20 years? Mm-hmm. All of this, but most people don't understand. Corporate America, through its voice on television, is sending all of the wrong messages to American families, all of the wrong messages over every medium I can think of. I don't personally find a single exception, except for podcasting, of course, and social media. We'll in respect to you and to me, everywhere else, corporate America are sending tragic, awful messages to the American people. They're beating them down. Every time you see a man who's a head of a family on a commercial, he's a fool, acts a fool. Families are discordant and just simply, most of them just pictured as stupid gatherings on the screen. It's outrageous. Well, it's outrageous what corporate America is doing.
Here's the positive news on all that. On one hand, you're right. You've got, and let's just talk dollars and cents. And I was in Washington, D.C. talking about this. So you podcasting, me running True Social, Other companies like Rumble, and there's probably a lot, you know, there's probably, you know, the top 500 to 1,000 different podcasters, companies, talk show hosts. What the left has successfully done is they've blacklisted so many people in America, where what they do with the woke corporates is that they tell them, well, look, you don't want to be advertising with, you know, Breitbart or the Daily Caller or Just the News or Lou Dobbs or True Social, because, you know, they've been deemed by these independent fact checkers as, you know, being fake or false information. And so they're very clever. The left has been very clever how they force these corporate boards to adhere to this radical philosophy. And I think that's one thing that has definitely happened over you know, my time that I spent in Washington, is watching that happen. And now being at a startup, you know, here at True Social, you know, we see that now every day as we've started to test and beta test our advertising platform. It's kind of odd, Lou, even though we've got, you know, millions of users, kind of strange. I don't see the same advertisers that you see on, say, you know, the network news folks, or, you know, just, I mean, look, I'm being facetious here. We know why. So the good thing is we're on top of it. We know it's happening. And now we know what to go after. And I was in Washington, D.C., making my former colleagues aware of this. Like, guys, forget all this other stuff. You need to look at the $200 to $300 billion a year that's going to go to internet advertising. And the left is successfully starving all of these small businesses, right? I mean, you're a small businessman, Lou. I mean, you know, in the podcast business. And they're starving all of these companies of dollars. Now, the good news is that these fact check groups will melt. They will melt and fall apart. You're already starting to see it. It's already happened to just here in the last few weeks. And I think if the Republicans in Congress really start to look at these fact check groups that are working to blacklist, you know, hundreds and hundreds of conservative small businesses across this country that are in the media sphere, it's going to backfire. And in fact, and I'll just kind of close with this, Lou, and see if you agree with me or not. What I've noticed, if you go back to let's take 2016, mm-hmm. when Donald Trump, you know, running for president, you had the network news, you had the three cable channels, you had the big radio guys, the Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, et cetera, Mark Levin, they were all there. At that time, and then you had Facebook. Basically, it was Facebook, a little bit of Instagram, a little bit of Twitter. And you had some local news, you know, if you were running for office locally, you had a little bit of local news and the, you know, the big news outlets. That's it. That's all you had back in 2016. But because the left put a stranglehold over all of that, what it's creating, like, they're squeezing this and they think they have it all enclosed, but the opposite is happening. The opposite is happening. What's happening is, boom, Lou Dobbs starts up and has podcasts, right? Boom, True Social appears. Boom, Rumble appears, right? I was at CPAC on Thursday, and you'll believe it, Lou, but you know, the tradition of CPAC is you walk in there, you know, I've done it every single year, and immediately you get hounded by 10, 20, 30 fake news reporters from really the relic news media services. And they run up to you and say, oh, you're a right-wing festival here, Nazis, you know, the usual bullshit questions you get, right?
Right.
And anyway, so a guy comes up to me. He's generally been a nice guy. I've known him for many years. He's a fake news guy. And I was there on Radio Row, which, Lou, you've been there many times, so you know what I'm talking about.
You bet.
At CPAC, where all the you know, talk show guys are all outside. And he says to me, he says, Don't you think it's strange that there's no major media outlets that are here this year? You know, in Radio Row. And I'm thinking to myself, what was called Radio Row? I don't know if they have a new name for it now, but that's kind of the nickname for it.
Right.
And I looked at him, and then I looked down, and I looked one way, and I saw, I mean, just podcaster after podcaster, after Newsmax, after OAN, after Epic Times, after, you know, just down the line, they're all there. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, there's no, you know, you don't see the major news outlet. I don't know what he's telling us getting at. But look, I've never seen him, but I said, if I were you, I said, this is the new journalism. all these, this row and down that, and I pointed down the other way. This is journalism, my friend. This is the new rise of independent journalism. I said, I don't know what you're doing, but you're asking me a stupid question right now because you're working for a relic. Nobody cares what you're going to say. I like you, but I mean, I don't know what you're looking at. This is it. And then lo and behold, now, Lou, let's just take on Saturday night, Donald Trump's speech on Rumble. So he posted it on Rumble, just Donald Trump's channel, not including all the other channels. And you'll appreciate this, Lou, because you've been around and you know the ratings business. You know that Donald Trump, as of today, check this morning, he's over 2.3 million views just on his Rumble channel.
Wow.
Of his speech from Saturday night. 2.3 million. And that doesn't include everything else. So the landscape is changing and changing rapidly. And I'm just proud to be part of it.
Well, you ought to be, because you're building a terrific, terrific competitor that is sorely needed in social media, as you well know. And President Trump, I know that you're close on time, but if we could, one last question, and then I'll ask for your concluding thoughts. We always give you the last word. But President Trump is taking on Rupert Murdoch ferociously, going after him. Give us your thoughts on that and what it's where it heads. He's trying, it seems, to destroy Fox News.
Well, look, I think that what people sense, and from President Trump, first of all, on Truth Social, he's very clear about it, right? So I'm not saying anything that's
right.
Any secret here. He thinks that and believes that Fox News is out to hurt him. And not giving them equal time. And I think to some degree that is accurate. But as you know, Lou, there's plenty of people at Fox News that are very supportive of President Trump. I've spoke to Rupert Murdoch a handful of times. I don't know what the truth is there, but look, I mean, I know this, if you just look at what happened to them after the election of 2020, I mean, they lost a lot of conservatives that went over to places like One America News and Newsmax, et cetera. And I think those are the facts. I have to venture to guess it's because people didn't like the movement that's out there that we talked about at the beginning of the show. The movement, this political movement that started with a business guy coming down the escalator that's morphed into the biggest, largest political movement in history that's got all kinds of followers that we talked about, people are rejecting kind of being controlled, right? I mean, they want to see if Donald Trump holds a rally, they want to see the rally. And, for whatever reason, I'll give Fox News credit on Saturday night. They did carry the CPAC speech live, but that was the first live speech that Fox has carried in 2 years that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and me too. I was going to point that out, that they carried that speech and good for them. But I do think that what everyone has to be honest about what has happened here in the case of Fox. And that is, Fox is seen by most conservatives, most America First Trump supporters across the country, tens of millions of them, as an election fraud denier, a 2020 election fraud denier. And that's a big deal because the reality is straightforward. There were all sorts of things that took place that conspired to reverse what should have been the presidential history. That is Donald Trump in the Oval Office in 2021, not Joe Biden, whether you're talking about any number of theories. But there are real facts.
The obvious one that came out, that's come out over the last couple of years, that is quite clear. I don't quite understand, why people aren't covering this more. But it gets into my realm in the social media world.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook put in $400 some million that went to basically 10 states.
Right.
That went to do what? Harvest ballots. Like, just that alone, that's not right. That's not okay. And that's why you've seen the rise of independent journalism, because the traditional outlets for news are not covering that. And that's why you've seen all of these people take off. And Lou, I'll give you another example that's just wild. And this is no, like, everybody thinks, oh, right, you know, okay, Lou Dobbs is conservative, fine. Devin Nunes is a conservative, fine. Get that. Well, then how do you explain a guy named Glenn Greenwald, who, Lou, I think you know his history. He
yes,
is the
absolutely.
Guy who founded The Intercept. He's very left-wing. He got ran out of The Intercept largely because he wouldn't go along with the Russia hoax. I give him credit for that. But he probably doesn't agree with you and I on any issue, okay? But he does agree with this, that independent journalism, and I'm going to use the word, was dead. And he set out to do something about it. And if you look at what he started just in the last couple months, he's got a show on Rumble now. He comes on, I think, five nights a week. And Lou, he's getting somewhere anywhere from 250,000 viewers to 500,000 viewers. I think I've seen even some of his shows over 500,000. He set up instead of using Substack, he's actually using a Rumble product where he posts his stories to his own channel. And so you can't just say this is right wing. No, this is the rise of independent journalism. And yes, it's mostly going to be from the right, because we've been the ones that have been most impacted, but it's also happening on the left. And so, you know, none of these kind of old relic media companies, they can deny it all they want. Just like that story I told you about that reporter who's been around Washington, you know, obviously way too long to not see what's happening. I mean, if you just take the views, and I'm just talking about what you see on just Rumble and Truth Social, I mean, it is staggering the amount of new content that is out there that's basically coming from independent journalism, people talking about getting to the truth.
Well, and that is a wonderful, wonderful trend that I think will, without question, continue. If I may say, just in agreement with you, Glenn is not only a left-wing journalist, he is a distinguished, terrifically talented journalist who I respect mightily. And I can't say that about many people on the left, but he is certainly, I think, chief among those who are doing great things and have done great work throughout their careers. And speaking of great work throughout careers, we always appreciate your time. Devin Nunes, appreciate you being with us. We're delighted always to learn from you whenever you take time to join us. We appreciate it, and we're going to let your comments be the concluding thoughts and the last word, if we may, just out of respect for the time that I know the crunch that you're in. Thanks so much, Devin. God bless you, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Lou, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to being back on with you.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Our guest tomorrow, Senator Marsha Blackburn and Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton. Please be with us. Till then, thanks, God bless you, and God bless America.